Yo, what's going on, guys? It's your boy MRags, and I'm sitting thankfully 3 hours away from Mr. Bonzer Gorgon himself. And this is episode 10. It's really episode 12. But Bonz, we made it to 10 episodes. Did you think we were gonna make it this far?
No way. I thought we would have been like, I thought I'd be involved in some sort of scandal where like I was going to be arrested,
like canceled or something.
Or even worse. And then you would like lawyer up and like go against me, and it would just be like a ball of fire, just like on the rise, and then just blowing up. Like
lawyer up what for? The one bullet pod for the account?
Yeah, don't we have a legal team here?
We got a couple heads. I could see us being in the small claims court. You know all those shows that you see on daytime TV?
Yeah.
Me versus you. That'd actually be hilarious. Maybe I'll fake sue you.
Yeah, can we? We should do that.
We might be able to make that happen.
Judge Judy.
Yo, if there's anyone out there, I got Governor is my lawyer. Governor, that's my guy.
I'm going with Vamp.
Okay, that can make it work.
Vamp's not a legal guy, but I got here with Vamp. I got to die with him, you know?
Vamp, though, will find a way. If we know Vamp, he'll find a way. All right.
He'll just go up to trial and just like meme them to death.
Yeah, exactly.
They're like, what are you doing, sir?
Sir, how does this face look exactly like Bonzer, who's clearly not in this movie? Those freak me out. Like, those look way too good. You know what I mean?
Oh, yeah. It's crazy. Yeah.
We're actually going to be doing something a little bit different here. We're actually going to be starting off with our Coward of the Week. But before we talk about the Coward of the Week, Nick Merckx is back on the Fortnite competitive scene, and it is electric. Him, Cypher, and then he had his teammate Coop, who we're going to talk about in a second here. I was watching it on Saturday. They had a little bit of a tough go-around, got into some late games. But it was electric to watch again. It just holds true for me, too. Endgame Fortnite is the most electric esport out there, hands down. For me, at least. For the viewer, for me,
yeah,
it's incredible.
I agree. It takes a while to get there. Like the
My
rule of thumb is when I turn on a Twitch stream and it's Fortnite competitive, if there's like 80, 90 left and they're looting, I'm going to take a break. I'm going to make a sandwich, and then I'll come back and check it out.
Yeah, go on Twitter for a little bit, like 10 minutes, let it go down. Once there's like 60 left and Storm Surge starts kicking in, my favorite thing about it is because anyone can win at any time. And you have to watch all the plays, the rotations, the tunneling. It is sick to see. And watching a guy like Nick Merckx, who is by no means cracked at the game, like he does not have insane mechanics, but he's still just getting kills because he has this gamer sense. He knows where to like rotate around. It's awesome to see again. I was actually like so into it. I didn't think I would be, but it was awesome to see again.
Yeah, I enjoyed watching. I didn't watch too much of it, like I said, but I did watch a lot when they were involved in the games and like rotations. It was pretty fun to watch. Good change of pace.
Yeah.
Need a lot of viewers, so.
I know, yeah. It was like 75K, I think, or 80K he topped out at. Not too shabby, to say the least. So, Bonds, going off the whole Nick Merckx, playing with that trio, you want to talk about the Coward of the Week?
Yeah, Coward of the Week for me, and this tweet happened, I think it was maybe 5 days ago. I think was it Saturday?
I think it happened Friday before.
Yeah, so Friday before, and G2 Esports, which is an organization. Have you heard of it? They're big.
I'll be honest, I haven't heard of them.
So they have 1.2 million followers on Twitter. So like they're a legit organization, and I think they do a lot more like with different types of games. It looks like they're in Berlin, so they probably have an offshore presence more so than here, I would assume.
Yeah.
I might just be speaking out of my ass.
Could be, but that's why we have a podcast.
They put out a tweet, a side-by-side picture of how G2 Coop plays Fortnite versus how Nick Merckx plays Fortnite. And Coop is in his screen is showing him Victory Royale. He wins.
Yep.
And then Nick Merckx is getting rezzed, so he's down.
Yeah.
And the reason it went viral is Nick Merckx quote tweeted and said, "I get more viewers than your entire org combined. Don't at me, cringe two."
Yeah.
What's the two there?
I don't know. It's just like, honestly, I have no idea.
Have you seen that before? Or was it a typo?
No, because he called it cringe two because it's G2.
Oh.
You didn't realize that? You might be my Coward of the Week. Oh, yeah. No, that was a clever, that was like Nick Merckx 200 IQ clever snapback tweet or clapback tweet because he's calling them cringe two instead of G2.
Okay. All right.
But then go.
I was gonna say, let's cut that out of the pod.
We'll make sure we'll definitely, I'm winking at the camera, cut that out of the pod. No, and then the funniest thing was this guy Coop, who was playing with Cypher and Nick Merckx, is on G2. He's in G2. He's G2 Coop. When I turned on Nick Merckx's stream Saturday and I saw him playing with someone in G2, I was so confused. I was like, wait, didn't he just flame that entire organization?
I texted you and I'm like, hey, is this the right guy? Do I get the right org? Like, what's going on? He's played with Coop before.
Yeah.
But I wonder if there was – I didn't watch the beginning when they started, so I wonder if there was any tension or jokes made.
I didn't even watch – yeah, I really watched, like, when they were in their first game, so I wasn't even really sure, but I was just, like – I was literally stunned, to say the least. But in reality, this could have been, like, a Nick Merckx 200 IQ marketing move. You know what I mean? Because then everyone's now talking about G2 and Nick Merckx, and then, like, guys like me who are like, wait, what? Like, I was just confuzzled. I mean, he's not wrong probably, but –
yeah, I don't think G2 responded after that. It's just like, what can you say? Like, you don't want to go.
Dude, what do you say there? Yeah. You know, especially just like playing with your boy. Like, he must have known he was playing with Coop too. It's not like on Friday he doesn't have his teammate for FNCS. Like, yeah. Coop knew, which is
it's
interesting.
Not like Coop joins G2 on Friday. Like,
yeah.
It's not a coincidence, but
yeah. So that's our coward of the week. I kind of like that a lot. It was a good Twitter day. Friday was a good Twitter day.
You can't come at Nick Merckx.
No.
Like, there's a few people you. If you come at, you better, like, come corrected. You better, you know, have something substantial. You can't just throw an insult at Nick Merckx.
Like, yeah, like, good luck dealing with that one, right? And you clap back. It was good on him. It was good on him. Guys, this episode, we got the GOAT, Megan Anderson. We want to thank Megan so much for coming on the pod. I was introduced to Megan Anderson in the gaming world when I casted one of the Barstool tournaments. It was supposed to see who's the baddest UFC fighter in the game. So it was Max Holloway, Megan Anderson, Jamala Hill, and then Dominic Reyes, and they all played with a Barstool personality. That's when I first started playing with Megan. Had the opportunity to play with Megan a bunch of times since then. We absolutely love her community. Me, Bonds, and Megan always have a great time when we run it together. So we really want to thank Megan for coming on the pod and just being an absolute legend. Megan's got a massive fight coming up against Amanda Nunes March 6th. But in this interview, we really want to focus on the gaming side and the person side of Megan Anderson. And, you know, she really impressed us. She's been impressing me since I think I first met her. Would you say the same, Bonds?
Oh, same. Yeah. I developed a little crush along the way, but like, she is awesome. Like, I thoroughly enjoy watching her play. Like, her energy is like infectious. And I know that sounds corny AF, but like, from talking to her, watching her stream, she's very upbeat,
right?
Friendly, positive, like stuff I need to work on as a person. Cause I'm kind of
you think so?
A dickhead.
I think so.
From the meetings, from when I talk to my shrink, that's usually the end of it. Is like, hey, try to like not be a dickhead all the time.
Nice. Are you getting your money's worth from the shrink?
$200 a session, probably not.
All right, we'll see.
But whatever. My wife wants me to go, so I do it.
Okay, that's right. Whatever pleases the wife, right? Whatever pleases the wife. Yeah, but I mean, it's been really cool to see Megan grow on stream as well. Like, she really cares about her community, which is awesome to see. She's hovering now like over 100 average viewers at a time. It's just awesome to see. And like, on top of this, she's a professional athlete and she still streams 4 times a week, 5 times a week, watch parties for the UFC. It is awesome to see. She really has a passion for it. She wants to grow. She wants to get better at Call of Duty, at gaming, at streaming in general. But I hope you guys enjoy this episode with Megan Anderson. Please help feed Bonzer and my family by leaving a 5-star review on the podcast. Please subscribe or follow if you are on Spotify. Without further ado, enjoy this conversation with the GOAT, Megan Anderson. Megan Anderson, Megan, thank you for joining us on the podcast.
No problem. Thank you for having me.
Of course, of course. You know, before we started recording, you know, you're wearing an MRAGS hoodie. I sent you out. That just fired me up. I started screaming. I'm fired up about that. We're going to send you some One Bullet Pod merch after this pod as well.
Let's go.
But we really, really appreciate you coming on the pod. I don't know if there's any other way to start this off than talking about simply, I think, the greatest country, Australia. I love Australia. I know you're originally from Australia. Yes. For those of us... maybe for the people out there who haven't been to Australia or maybe are not too familiar with Australia, how do you explain Vegemite simply?
Well, essentially it's like yeast extract.
Right.
But the way that most Americans eat it is they try to put it on like toast or bread like you do peanut butter.
Yeah, like Vegemite toast.
So much on, like, you guys lather your piece of bread with like peanut butter. It's insane. That shit's packed on. Yep. Whereas with Vegemite, because it is a very salty taste, so you have to just put like a thin layer and then you're good to go. But everyone, like most Americans that I know, put on like the thickest layer, and yeah, of course you're not gonna like it. It's like, yeah, just salt. It literally just tastes like salt at that point. But
I made that fatal error. I made that fatal error of like using it just like you normally would butter, and you bite it, you're like, what? What am I eating right now? But
yeah,
Australians love it, but I'm not obviously doing it.
We also grow up eating it.
True, true.
Not like we're just throwing it in the deep end as like an adult. It's like we eat that from like a child.
Yeah.
So we're used to it.
Yeah.
I can eat it. Like, it's at the point I can eat it by itself. Like,
straight out of like, oh, well, what? We got one in like a tube, right? Is that how it comes? Like, almost like toothpaste, literally, like a yellow one.
Yeah.
I'll have to look this up. I've never heard of this.
It's so
like, I'm a silent standby, and I have no idea what's going on.
Well, Vegemite, you might be all right. Little Vegemite.
Yes. Also, the word I heard, the word bonzer is Australian slang as well for excellent. That's what I've heard.
Can you confirm this, Megan?
Can you confirm?
I'm pretty sure we Googled this once. Bonza definition.
But you're talking about off the top of your head, like
so excellent. Like, first, yeah.
See,
yeah.
So, but that's not really used that you've heard of, or
I have never used it. I'm also not one of those Australians who use a lot of the slang terms. Like, I know a couple people that like go around just like, "What up, mate? How's it going, mate?" Or "G'day, mate." Like, I'm just like a hey.
True.
Gotcha.
Hey. Okay. So, like, it really depends on like your upbringing and. Also, like the same as the States, there's different like sounding accents where you are. It's the same with Australia. So like the more country you get, the more like in Australia, the more stronger the accent, and they're going to use a lot of those like slang phrases. Whereas like I grew up in the city essentially.
Right. And I think people sleep on how big Australia is itself, because I think across, if you go from like, let's call it Gold Coast to Perth, that's probably full day drive, something like that. Like, it is massive.
Oh no, that's a couple days.
Yeah,
it's the same size as America. It's like going from New York to California.
Yeah,
really.
Yeah,
yeah, it's massive.
It's landmass. It's the same size as the States.
Huh. Interesting. Yeah. I'll probably never go because I'm afraid of leaving my house. But Matt's been and he's told me stories.
I love it. There's nothing wrong with it. I feel that. There's nothing wrong.
So I feel like I've been there between talking to you and Matt telling me stories. I feel like I've already been there. So
I love it.
But I also, I heard on an interview that you did recently that you wanted to be an archaeologist.
Oh, yeah.
Originally. But you didn't know how to spell it.
No.
So like your parents were like, well, you can't be something you can't spell.
Pretty much, yeah.
So if
I loved dinosaurs, but like paleontology sounds boring.
Yeah.
So, but like the premise of, like ancient civilizations, like I really liked history.
Mm-hmm, right.
And like going and finding ancient civilizations like intrigued me. So that's where the archaeology came from. But look, archaeology is really fucking hard to spell.
Yeah. I'm looking at it now and there's the A E O combination.
Yeah.
It's not natural. Like,
got me every time.
Yeah.
Like the CH, the A R C H, and then A E O.
Yeah. It's not
natural. It was game over. It was game over.
So
I knew exactly what she was doing.
Yeah. Also, I feel like everything's already been discovered. Do you know what I mean? Like, what's what left think. To discover?
Like, think. And all of a sudden someone digs up in their backyard like a dinosaur or something. That's like happened. Like someone,
well, like a new mummy.
Right.
That shit's scary when you think about it.
Yeah. Crazy, I listened to so many of those Rogan episodes where he's talking to like people who like have civilizations like under the Amazon or like crazy discoveries.
Right?
Like,
look at the alien movies.
I know.
It's pretty much the same premise.
So the only thing that's like soothing to me is on Elon Musk's last episode with Joe Rogan. He was basically saying like, yeah, if there were aliens, I think we would know. Like if they tried to visit us or send us a sign. So that was reassuring when like one of the smartest guys in the world told us that at least if they're here, they're really stealthy, which I guess is a little bit scarier. But
he also named his kid an aquarium.
Yeah.
That's what I'm saying. He's like a genius, but he's also a little bit like, you know, Elon, what's going on there? What is it?
He's probably terrible at Warzone though. So.
Oh yeah. Oh, that's an easy gulag every time. I would.
Yeah. Too. I hope so. Oh my god. These gulags.
I want a Megan versus Elon gulag. I want it now.
Well, you wouldn't even know how to hold a controller. I would be an easy one.
That's very true.
Oh, knowing me, I would blow myself up.
No.
Throwing a Semtex.
Easy wins, Megan. Easy. Oh, the Semtex get me, though. They blow up way too fast. You accidentally stick it on a wall.
Yeah, they stick
it. Dude, everything. I do that all the time. I throw it, and it hits, like, the little corner of the edge of the wall. I'm like,
yeah.
Run away.
One what's so frustrating. You play, if you ever hop on Cold War, the operator's lefty. So now you guys throwing lefty Semtex. Yeah. I stick so many Semtex onto walls in front of me in Cold War, so much more than I do in Warzone. It's terrible. Thank God I don't play Cold War because that game is not amazing, but it really throws me off sometimes.
Did you play Cold War, Megan?
I have played a little bit. I played the beta, the multiplayer, when it first came out. I played the zombies when it came out, and I tried to play multiplayer, like just like a custom lobby to level up my FFAR.
Right.
Oh my God.
Hard.
The mechanics.
Yeah.
Like going from Modern Warfare to Cold War. Like,
yeah.
The mechanics, like you run so much slower.
Yeah.
So much slower. Like everything is just feels so weird. I was like, yeah. I can't do this.
I get motion sickness playing Cold War.
Yeah.
Literally.
No, Bonzo really can't play Cold War.
Like, because the character is kind of like jumping up and down and just like while just playing, like, I'm like, all right,
it just feels so slow. Like, I'm like plodding along like this.
Yeah, we're spoiled with the Modern Warfare movement.
They really should have went Cold War, then Modern Warfare. Like, it's really weird how they reversed it.
I know. And now a report just came out today from Call of Duty News that they think the next Call of Duty is going to be based in World War II. So,
going back.
And I don't understand it because how many more World War II games is Call of Duty going to do? Like, I love World War II. Like, I love all the history behind it. And I thought, like, some of the first games of Call of Duty, Medal of Honor, and World War II were awesome. But, like, we're a little bit past it, I personally think, right? The last World War II in Call of Duty was a flop, in my opinion, and I think a lot of people agree. It's like, are we still going back? Like, let's go.
Apparently.
You know?
Apparently.
It's crazy.
I don't know why, but...
For those of the people listening who don't maybe know how you first started streaming and gaming, do you want to talk about the rise of Meatball Nation? I mean, it has been awesome for me to see the growth of your stream from when I first casted the Barstool tournament with Robbie Fox, right?
Yep.
And you were playing with Pineapples and Chun. And were you playing with Glennie as well? Who was your fourth?
Yes.
It was Glennie, yeah. And then, like, seeing you now, like, you're just chilling over, like, 100 viewers all the time. Awesome community, one of the best in the game. It is great to see. So can you talk about, like, how that all started, streaming in general, gaming? Was it, like, an outlet?
So, well, I've been playing games since I was a kid.
Love that.
Like, I remember having a Sega and playing Battle Axe and Echo the Dolphin. Like, those type games.
Wow. That noise, noise when the dolphin dies. Oh, man. It's like in my brain.
Look this up.
My dad, because... Obviously, we were kids, so, like, it gets pretty hard. Like, it's a surprisingly difficult game for just being a dolphin.
Yeah.
And so we would die all the time. So my dad would have to stay up while we went to sleep, and he would level up to the next level.
Oh, wow.
We got the next day. We were like, oh, we got to the next level.
That's hilarious.
But, like, yeah, I remember, like, I still, like, almost to memory know the cheat for Aladdin on the original PlayStation. Because you couldn't save the game.
Yeah.
Like, so, like, if you died, you had to, like, died at the very end.
Right
back to the very start. So, right. Like, I still to this day, like, almost remember the cheat to go from the start to go right to the very last boss fight. Like, I still remember that. I've been playing for a really long time, and I just never considered streaming, honestly.
Right.
It was one of my friends who pretty much nagged me almost on a weekly basis for a year before I, like, decided to, like, to actually start streaming.
Mm-hmm.
So,
you're a good friend.
Yeah, pretty much like a whole year. He's like, God damn it, Megan.
That's persistence.
It really is. But he's seen the potential. So I was like, okay. And I think it was like November of 2019. I created a Twitch, but I didn't actually start streaming until I think like around March.
Right.
I think it was like after my fight,
Okay.
which was the 29th of February. I think after I officially like started streaming, and like I streamed right from my Xbox. I plugged in a webcam to my Xbox, and then I had the stream up on my laptop next to me so I could respond to chat.
Yep.
And so I started with that for the first couple months, and then I was able to buy a PC, and that changed everything.
Yeah.
Like I still play on Xbox controller, but having the PC to, so now everyone can hear my team.
Right.
On like in the stream, whereas like they were just hearing a one-sided conversation. I'm like, people probably think I'm crazy. And like,
yeah. No one's in Megan's lobby.
I'm hearing voices up here, I swear.
Right. But like going from that and then getting like the all the little like starting soon live, like
yeah,
right back,
alerts.
Like,
yeah. Yeah.
Going right. to like, and then going to that. And it's been crazy. It's been a slow step-by-step process, and which I've really enjoyed because it mm-hmm. helps me learn about the community.
Right.
And like I look at other content creators and other streamers to see what they're doing, and I'm like, oh, I like that, or I like this, and like nice. I kind of mold it to my thing. But I see a lot of like high level athletes kind of given things a lot,
right.
like an NFL player will start up a Twitch and they will get partnered like yeah. that without even right. doing anything.
Yeah,
which like if I wanted to, I could, but I don't want to do that. Like I wanted to build my channel. I wanted to build my community and earn it like everybody else. Like that's just like a theme throughout my whole life, really.
Right.
Like I've never been given anything. So I don't want to be like, I want to earn it. And the thing is that like, I can be partnered all I want, but like if no one wants to watch, then.
Right.
Yeah. You just have the check mark point. For no reason.
Yeah, it doesn't matter. Yeah. Nice check mark.
Yeah.
And we've had a lot of athletes on, and they have, you know, like you said, it's pretty easy to get a partner if you're a famous athlete, whatever. But like when we talk to these people, it's one of the unique ways to interact with you or anyone famous is through Twitch. Like there's no other ways really like it to have that one-on-one interaction. You know, you have 100 or so viewers, people talking, donating, subscribing, and people who've always played video games. It's like, wow, Megan plays video games too.
Mm-hmm.
It's just like a cool way to like, to bring people together that, it didn't exist before, you know, 5-6 years ago, whatever. It's very didn't really exist.
And like I feel like it's a really good opportunity because when you look at, so I've gone live like an Instagram live or TikTok live, like I've gone live and done like Q&A's on most platforms,
right?
And you always get like the weird people. You
always
get the trolls and stuff like that, whereas with Twitch it's different. It is like you'll occasionally get them here and there, but like my mods do such a great job of like filtering that out before I even see it, or they'll time them out. And if they come back and still say stuff, I'll be like, just ban them.
Yeah.
Just,
right.
Like it, like I have a zero tolerance on negativity, and with lives, you can't really filter that out.
Yep.
Yeah.
Like quickly and they can just keep popping up. Whereas with Twitch, like it's, I don't know. It's just a different vibe. And that's what I've loved transitioning into the gaming community, is that everyone is so supportive. Like it has been a breath of fresh air transitioning from like a sport where like I might train with a team, but it's an individual sport,
right?
Like I am the one that's get, so like even though we all support each other, you also have to make sure you put your career first. And so there is very, you have to be selfish. Like you have to be selfish, and that's not a bad thing. It's just, why would I put my career on hold to support, like to focus on somebody else's career? That makes no sense. But with gaming, like me streaming literally doesn't affect you or doesn't affect somebody else. Like I'm going to attract the people that want to come and watch me that might not be the same people that want to watch you. So
exactly.
And what I love is that the people that I've surrounded myself with the gaming community, are all supportive of each other. And that's the type of environment that I want to bring to my stream as well.
Yeah, that's great. You do a fantastic job of it. And that is an interesting dynamic you talked about, because when I first started streaming, like back in 2016, I would always say like, And I thought this in my head as I was young and naive. I was like, all right, if I'm live, right, and I have 5-10 viewers and someone else is streaming, like, we're competing for viewers now. But it's so much not like that. Like, for example, I have a lot of people that love watching your stream. Like, I'm sure you have a couple people that, like, after you raided me one time, I was playing Fall Guys, a couple people came in there, followed me. And it's funny how it's like you can truly grow together. And just because someone's not sitting in your stream at that one moment doesn't mean they don't support you, want you to succeed. And it's cool because, just like you said, it is a community where we're all growing at the same time.
I think too, like, that, like, I totally get that mentality because I used to be that way. And right. I think it's like a maturity thing.
Totally.
Like, it's like, somebody else is doing well. That means I'm not doing well. Mm-hmm. Well, no, it just means like they're doing well. It has zero effect, zero exactly. relation, anything on you. And I think that's with anything, like any goal, like you see it so much more in sports. Like, I'm sure it's in gaming, but like I've seen it from like the sporting side. It's like, oh, this teammate won, I'm going to pull them down because I'm not, like, if they're winning, that means like I'm competing with them, and like my career needs to be the forefront of whatever. And like, I see it all the time with like young fighters coming through.
Yeah.
They just, I don't know. It's like tall poppy syndrome. It's like, they want you to do good, just not as good as you.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Weird.
There's some of that in gaming, but definitely not as much. Really? I'm sure in sports, not as much. But yeah, I feel like, the most for you could also choose who you play with, right? You could choose who you network with. Mm-hmm. You just stay away from people who are like that and don't have that same energy or mentality you have.
So Megan, my brother, King of the North, and Japren, who we've played with a couple times.
Yes, I love that name.
They are they're the two biggest UFC fans that I know. And they both, every time we're done playing, they're like, I cannot believe how nice Megan Anderson is. Because in all reality, right, you can kick all three of our asses at the same time, but you like choose to be the nicest person. They're all like, we literally love Megan Anderson. I mean, J-Prem has been one of your biggest fans since like your come up with Invicta. Oh, and really? He like, when he got a chance to play with you, he was like, this is electric. So we just want to give a huge shout out to you for literally being just an awesome person and nice all around, where, you know, you could be, act however you want to be.
Thank you. Well, but, like, I kind of look at it as like a lot of people, particularly in the MMA community, they expect, like, they form an opinion of you based on literally like the things that I want to show you. So
right.
the things that I say or the things that I post, like, they make an opinion on that, which isn't like 100, like, isn't the full picture of who Megan is as a person.
Yeah.
And like, I get a lot of unnecessary hate because people think I'm this bad person. I don't know why.
Crazy.
But for me, I look at it as another way for people to see like who I am as a person. And like, I'm just really, I don't know. I'm pretty chill.
Like, how do you then flip that switch into like cage shuts and you're in the cage? You know what I mean? Like, I know you've been doing it for a long time, you're a pro, but like, how does that work in your head?
I don't know. It is just like a switch, and I flip the switch, as Drake said.
That's crazy.
I
try to flip a switch and then I just cry. So like, I would be terrible in the UFC, but like, it's crazy how you're able to just kind of like, do you think of it as a job, or do you think of it as just like, all right, this is my life. Like
you have to look at it as both, because it is a job, but it's also your life.
Mm.
And that's where you can flip the switch, because even though it's a job, I use all of my life experiences to help flip the switch. So like, I can get, I get mean when I need to get mean. Mm-hmm. And I take all of that experience and I bring that with me to help flip the switch,
right?
Because you can't be nice in this game. Like, once the door closes, you can't be nice. And like, you have to be mean, you have to get gritty, you have to be dirty, and to get the job done. Otherwise, like, you could potentially get knocked out.
I mean, it's a wild mentality to see that change. And I think the funniest thing is when we were playing Warzone, you get like audibly a little nervous. Yeah, and it's like, me and Bonzo are like, we're laughing because we're like, if we're in a ring and someone's trying to fight us. Yeah. Like, I'm like shaking. I don't know what to do. But at Warzone, I'm like, we're just clutch up. Maybe you get the shakes every now and then. But you legitimately get more nervous in Warzone in Verdansk than you do.
I do. Well, I can't control. Like, I can't control that. Like, I have had years of experience being in the cage and like
right
situations, whereas I don't have that time in game. Like I swear to God, like me drinking my water afterwards is like
literally the meme. The shake,
like that's me, like my, like I'm sweating.
Yeah,
like the, I'm Eminem, I'm sweating. Yeah. Knees weak, I'm like, oh my God.
It's funny.
I'm like my, I feel like I'm about to have, like, have heart palpitations. So I also don't want to let the team down, so like,
yeah, that's true. That's true. No, we have a great time. We have a fantastic time when I play, which is why we obviously love gaming with you. If you had to pick one to play for the rest of, well, you know, maybe not the rest of, you know, your gaming career, but like if you only had to keep one around, Assassin's Creed or Call of Duty, you got like one of them is just like gone forever. Either the Assassin's Creed, yeah,
they're hanging off a cliff. Like,
yeah, they're just done. Yeah, which one are you reaching over to save and pull? Pull through. Look, I know you love Assassin's Creed.
I do. God damn you. the market for streaming is Call of Duty, so mm-hmm. I would have to keep that.
Fair.
Like, I gotta look at the long-term picture.
Yeah, exactly.
Not a lot of people want to watch people stream Assassin's Creed.
Yeah. Right.
They, I used, like, to play those, that long, like, time. High intense, like, games that there's action all the time, yeah, for the most part, all the time. So I would have to, unfortunately.
And it's a solo game.
R.I.P. Assassin's Creed. R.I.P.
That's my heart.
Isn't it a solo game too?
It is. Yeah.
So yeah, you'd be like, you know, playing by yourself the whole time.
But those games, you get storylines. You get lost in those games, like hundreds of hours. It's and it's fun too. That's the problem. That's the dangerous thing. It's fun those hours too.
It really is. Well, it's my, so I'm a completionist. So when I go to an area, I will not move on from that area until every single quest is done, every single like building, like monument is discovered, like everything. It takes me sometimes days to like get through one area, and particularly the new one, like they're huge because we're in England and like the counties are huge, and oh my God. It's people don't want to watch you do all those random side quests.
That's the archaeologist in you, I think.
I know.
Yeah, like exactly. Searching every stone, looking through every,
no stone will be unturned.
Yeah, I think like after UFC is done, you're gonna be an archaeologist.
Maybe.
We gotta spell it first.
Dude, I would
learn to spell it.
I'm gonna, like, after this, I'm just gonna keep writing out a piece of paper.
Right. I know. Oh, that's funny.
We didn't really talk to this, but how did you kind of get into mixed martial arts, you know, how'd you get into that and when?
It was not for growing up, I was very unathletic. Mm-hmm. So it was not on the plan. I played the piano and cello from 4 and 6 till 15. Yeah. Wow. I wanted to go to college and become a conductor, and I wanted to conduct world class orchestras.
Wow.
That was my goal. And then I just got burnt out on it. Like I became a teenager and I was like, this isn't fun anymore. This isn't cool. This is really hard, which it kind of was. And I was just, I've discovered that studying and like studying for like exams and stuff like that is just not my thing.
Right.
And that was like, looking back at it now as a 31-year-old, I'm like, yeah, oh, that makes sense. Like why I kind of drifted, because having to do all of these like eighth grade, like you have exams to level up in musical instruments. So I hated that. And then I went to cadets and I joined the military and I was studying and doing and becoming an officer at the same time. And then that wasn't for me. And I pretty much left and I had so many different jobs. I worked in a warehouse for Billabong, because it's based out of the Gold Coast. It's based out of Australia. Yeah. Dude, I love that stuff too.
I used to, like, I used to skateboard. I would always,
yeah, skateboards and surfboards are their big things. Yeah. But I worked there, and then I worked at an IT shop, and I worked at like a data entry place, and I worked so many different jobs. And I remember I took my friend up to, she was trying out for lingerie football league.
Okay.
I know.
I
drove her up there, and I was sitting there, and one of the other girls who was trying out, her partner used to box, and like, we just got to talking. Mm-hmm. He's like, yeah, do you train? I was like, I just go to the gym a couple of times. He's like, well, you've got a build for MMA, you should try it out. Like, I was like, I kind of thought about it. It's like, yeah, maybe. And then I, like, we started going to like local boxing events and watching local boxing shows. And we went to an MMA event. Well, I went and picked up tickets to a local MMA show. And the guy that I got the tickets from, he was the gym owner, and he coached the gym, and we got to talking. He's like, well, come in, have a free trial, see if you like it. And I'm a competitive person, and I knew if it was something that I enjoyed or that I picked up relatively quickly, I would want to compete. Mm-hmm. But like, being so unathletic growing up, I was like, is this going to be a thing? But yeah, surprisingly, I picked it up relatively quickly.
I would say, how old were you when you started training with this guy?
I was 23.
Okay. Yeah. So that's definitely, I feel like I've heard a lot of stories.
Pretty impressive.
Like 5 years old. They, you know what I mean? They do karate and they do judo or Brazilian jiu-jitsu or whatever it may be.
Well, so there's a lot of young people coming through these days. Like, I started relatively late compared to like a lot of people nowadays.
Oh yeah.
Makes me feel so
the strides
old.
You made in the short time were like, it's very insane. Impressive.
Yeah, imagine training for 7 years and being at literally the top of your sport. It's unbelievable. I mean, impressive stuff. Absolutely impressive stuff.
I guess.
Yeah, it's all right.
I do think sometimes, occasionally.
No, I respect that. Bonds, any more questions from your end?
So the last question I had, and this had steam a few months ago on Twitter, and we have to get it going again.
No, we don't.
Megan, will you fight
no
Matt Emrags and Rough and Rowdy 14?
What's the date?
We'll work the
day. I checked your schedule. I think you're booked. And I'm sick. I'm sick that day, so I can't make it. All I'm saying is when the first Megan versus Matt Rough and Rowdy started, I was terrified. I was terrified.
How did that even start?
Probably me.
It was definitely like a Bonzer troll. It was someone mentioned it, and then it just gained steam. And then I think, Megan, you tweeted something at Smitty, and Smitty was like, even if we tied your arms and legs behind your back, blindfolded you in a ring, we still could not do this. I was like, thank God. General looking out for his troops, like, thank the heavens above. So that's I'd so much rather have you in my corner than ever be looking across.
Well, I will corner you fighting, so I will totally do that. I can corner you to a victory. I
really want to fight this Bonzer guy, like me and you, like, you
let's
know
do it.
If you just pledge me your allegiance, I'm all in. Rough and Rowdy 14.
Dude, we'll get some like Rocky Balboa-esque like cutscene. Type this up. Like, we'll get you running through the streets.
I just gotta learn to jump rope professionally and just do a speed bag. I think if you do those two things, you can at least make a promo video, right? Like, I don't need you to do anything else.
Pretty much, yeah.
Yeah,
I can just like shadow box aggressively.
Yeah, like, yeah, okay. I'll look up Rocky IV, one of my all-time favorite movies. I love that training scene, so I'm gonna watch that like five times before we record, and I think I'm good to go.
We got this. Barstool Sports. Cross Rocky, we got this.
Literally. Megan, thank you again so much for coming on the podcast. For everyone looking out for you, twitch.tv/MeganA_MMA. You're streaming pretty much every night, starting around like 7-ish p.m. CST.
Yeah, I usually, so Monday, Tuesdays around 8:30. I don't stream on Wednesdays. And then Thursday, Friday, I'm able to start a little bit earlier just because I don't have training those evenings. So I usually get on around like 7-8.
Nice.
And then Saturdays I have watch parties, which is cool.
I love those. Those are electric.
Really are. Like, it blows my mind.
Yeah. And it's cool having your expertise too. Like, you talk about the fights. It's like, where else can you talk to a UFC fighter while watching UFC? You know what I mean? Like, there's no way you can do it. So it's definitely a cool experience. I would highly recommend checking it out.
Like, my favorite part of streaming is like rating people. That hands down. Is like seeing like the excitement, like going over to somebody's stream.
Yeah.
And like, I like to raid like people with small viewers, because like I want to help them.
Yeah.
So like that hands down is like my, like whenever I do the watch parties, because I have like, sometimes I have like a couple hundred people in there.
Right.
Again, blows my mind.
Yeah.
Like going and raiding like a small streamer. Oh my God, they freak out. And like, I totally love it.
That is great. And I've been there for a couple of those, and you hype them up. Like, you hype up your own chat, like, let's go make someone's night. It's great to see. Yeah. And honestly, like, you're giving back, which is absolutely phenomenal. Megan, again, thank you so much for coming on the pod. All of Megan's socials will be in the description below, but watch out for Inverdance, because again, if she's not sniping you, she's beating you down with her fist. Yep. Hope you guys enjoy. Catch you in the next one.